looking at Wendy Spotswood, age 28, who is unmarried and looking for financial security. As I've said, Jim was a full-time employee at Grindley Gadgets Limited. Grindley's pension scheme covered all 237 employees and was run on a central trust with very conventional rules. Jim decided to leave his wife and teenage children and vacate his marital home to set up with a new relationship with Wendy, who already had one child by him and was expecting another. Greg, the company's personnel manager and a trustee of the pension scheme, was advising Jim on the action that he should take. What action do you think Jim could take concerning the scheme benefits? Take time now just to reflect on what we've already discussed in the past and how that might be appropriate to Jim Mayer's situation now. Well, suffice it to say, this was not an easy situation to advise on. Jim's estranged wife had a legal claim upon the estate that Jim would leave if he died. She also had a call on the death in service benefits provided by Grindley Gadgets pension scheme. Jim had a difficult relationship with his wife and required that his death in service benefits were paid to Wendy to support her and his two children by her. He had no other life insurance cover and was blind to any need for any. He was, frankly, short of disposable income. The personnel department advised him accordingly. Jim wrote a letter of wishes to the trustees, sealed it in an envelope and lodged it with the personnel department. Jim died 7 months later, having contracted a fatal illness. No other life assurances existed apart from the death in service benefits from the Grindley pension scheme. The letter of wishes, when it was opened, asked that the trustees pay all of the death in service benefits to Wendy. However, the trustees had two claimants against the funds. Marjorie, his estranged wife, and Wendy, the mother of two young illegitimate children. The point of this case study is that although Jim felt that he had settled his financial affairs, he put his reliance for Wendy's future and the future of his two illegitimate children into the hands of an arbitrary system. The trustees for the pension scheme could well have taken the decision that, in the absence of a divorce, Marjorie, as the estranged wife, had as much, if not more, call on the funds due to her circumstances in bringing up two teenage children as any other candidate for the benefits. The additional overriding factor was that she was the widow of the deceased. Refer back to the previous study and reflect upon the similarity of the arrangements. The circumstances are quite similar, but the lessons are there to draw upon. A letter of wishes is only as good as the circumstances allow it to be. Remembering also King Richard, think of the possibilities that a simple letter of wishes would have opened up for Prince John. In the event, the trustees provided for both women, or should I say, for Marjorie, the legal widow, and all four children. This was a woefully inadequate solution to both families' circumstances. Both women should have protected their children independently of their male partner's company pension and death in service benefits. Other unforeseen changes in circumstances could have arisen, and often do. Redundancy, ill health, company policy, a reduction in scheme benefits, and others conspire to create an inadequacy of provision for the family.